Good afternoon, everybody. The time is 2 o'clock. Pardon me. Welcome to the Vox Pop for this Tuesday, February 13th. I'm Alan Chartok. President Trump has released a budget proposal for 2019, which includes a $1.5 trillion infrastructure plan. The Winter Olympics are in full swing in South Korea, and Wall Street has been on a rocky road. These are just some of the week's headlines up for discussion on today's open forum. On the lighter side, Valentine's Day is tomorrow. So what are your plans? Do you have a favorite Valentine's Day story? And if that isn't enough, what's the most clean, embarrassing thing that ever happened to you? We want to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Your calls and much more all coming up on the Vox Pipe right after this wonderful news from James Vavoulis. Well, hello, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. The Winter Olympics are in full swing in South Korea. Do you care? Wall Street has seen huge losses and big gains recently. Do you care about that? And President Trump has released his budget proposal for 2019. What about that? Locally, the corruption trial of New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's former top aide continues in Manhattan. Do you care? These are just some of the weekly headlines for the discussion on today's, well, semi-open forum on the news. On the lighter side, Valentine's Day is tomorrow. Ray Graff is busy getting his wife something. What are your plans? Do you have a favorite Valentine's Day story? Well, do you? I have one. So give us a call. The number is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. I said, that's 1-800-348-2551. You can post comments here, or you can write us at voxpop@wamc.org. Well, there are no calls right now, so I'm going away. And anybody who wants to, okay, so if you want to call, this is a good time to do it. I want to hear from you. I'm sitting here in this studio. I'm all alone. I was supposed to have a guest, but no guest. That didn't happen. So here I am, sort of left in the lurch. It's a long story, but let me tell you how it happened. This is all true. I used to do Tuesdays pretty much alone here on the Vox Pop. Then we got a really great assistant news director whose job it is to produce the Vox Pop named James Lavoulis, who sounds a little bit like my old boss at Channel 13, Steve Babulis. So I call this guy James Lavoulis Babulis. Anyway, that's the story so far. So he really wanted to make life better for me, so he began to get, you know, guests. Every Tuesday, there would be another guest. By the way, there are four phones ringing. This is a little scary. So he got another guest every Tuesday. Well, I began to say, well, all I have to do is answer the phone, say next, you know, whatever. Now what has happened is I've lost my nerve. So here I am. Solo. I give you a choice. You can talk about anything you want to talk about within reason. Otherwise, I'll hang up on you. So it's 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We'll go to Nelson in Rome. All roads lead there, Nelson.
Hello. How are you today?
Well, not so good. You know, I got let down a little bit. But since you're from Rome, where all roads lead to, you can go ahead and say your piece.
There you go. I had an incident quite a few years ago, where I wanted to go to a concert here in Rome, drum and bugle corps, and I was going out with a couple of different girls at the time, and I told
Wait. This has to be clean. I don't want to lose my license over
this.
It
is.
Okay.
It is.
Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
And so I told one of them I was going to be out of town. I wouldn't be able to go this year.
Uh-oh.
And I went with the other one. And the newspaper photographer happened to be there. And he took the picture of the row that I was in, and it was in the paper the next day. And then the girl I told I was going to be out of town saw it, and that was the last I saw her.
Oh, boy. Have you seen her since?
I haven't, no. Oh. It doesn't take much, you know?
No, it really...
Well, I thought that was pretty embarrassing.
Do you think there was... Yes, it is embarrassing. But do you think that there's a guiding hand that makes those things happen, in other words?
You know, I think you may be right,
yeah.
Really.
There may be a guiding hand in all of that that teaches us a lesson. Well, Nelson, thank you for getting us started. I very appreciate it. So long.
Yeah, bye. Okay.
Yeah. And now we're going to Sherry in Vermont. Sherry, I don't think I want to talk about that. No, thank you, Sherry. We're not going to talk about that. So let's go to Bob in Albany. Okay, Bob in Albany, you're on. Go ahead.
Hi, Alan.
Yeah.
I'm just very excited about the Trump budget. I think it gives the Democrats a wonderful opportunity, which, being Democrats, they may not take, but to use it as a blaring horn for all of his lies to his base about what he was going to do and not do regarding Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security.
Yeah.
And now he's out with a blueprint that essentially tears those promises to pieces, and hopefully Democrats will make good use of that.
Well, you know, that's a very interesting point, because there are a lot of people who think that Democrats aren't very good at answering Trump. You know, that he's big mouth, he makes a lot of noise. But he's got this budget that is different from the congressional budget that was arrived at, right? You're with me so far?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, for example, in the president's budget, he zeroes out National Public Radio and PBS. I mean, I think it's clear that's part of his war on the First Amendment and the press. And, you know, it's to be expected from him. In fact, I've expected it for a long time. You know, I don't know what you make of it, but this is his way of having his say without having to be responsible. What do you think about that?
I think the Republicans in general have a standard line when it comes to National Public Radio, which is Sesame Street makes money. It should pay it for its own way, and so could other stations. I mean, it completely ignores the desperate need of rural areas for public radio that's funded. But, you know, they get away with saying that. But imagine the Democrats putting out newspaper copy saying, you know, just listing his campaign promises regarding Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and then the things that are in his budget that are completely opposite that. It's like a gold mine if they care to mine it.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. You know, there's a whole argument that Chuck Schumer made peace with McConnell in the Senate too early, that they were heading towards the 2018 elections. People were furious with the Republicans, furious with Trump. And by making peace and saying, okay, we're going to give you all the defense money you want on the one hand, and you give us all the, you know, the domestic money we want on the other hand, that they sort of negate the sort of anti-Trump feeling that exists in the land. What do you think of that?
Well, it's going to be Trump isn't running in 2018, obviously, but there are a lot of people who are going to be running on who are claiming to be great supporters of his. Do they support his budget? If they support his budget, boy, do their opponents have an opportunity to say, really? Cutting Medicare? Cutting Social Security or privatizing Social Security? There's just a ton of things there. If Democrats do something unusual for themselves and make good use of it.
Well, listen, you're very kind to call, Bob. I appreciate it very much. Thank you. Okay, so we're about the first third of the program. Wow, got through it. So here's the deal. My nerve is reappearing. So here's the deal, just so you'll know. At one point, we had 10 people on the phone. Now we only have one person, Ralph from Red Hook, on the phone. And he wants to talk about Trump and military parades. And when we come back in about 7 seconds, we'll do just that. But remember, you could talk about Valentine's Day. You could talk about the most embarrassing thing, non-sexual, that ever happened to you. All good.
Support for WMC comes from the Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences in the Capital District and beyond, skidmore.edu/tang. Studio KTM Salon, Red Hook, specializing in all phases of cut and organic color, from corrective to fashion, by stylist Kristen Marquette. StudioKTM.com. The Black Sheep, downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butter-scratch bakery, caterer, and cafe offering fair trade coffee. BlackSheepDeli.com. The Department of Theater Arts, SUNY New Paltz, presenting Water by the Spoonful. A returning Iraq soldier struggles with civilian life, March 1st to 11th, newpaltz.edu/theater. And Bergeron Electrical Services, for over 30 years, providing the Pioneer Valley and Western Massachusetts with all electrical services, interior and exterior lighting, generator installation, and more. BergeronElectrical.net.
And we are back. Thank you, Zacharias. I appreciate that very much. Our wonderful engineer, Zach, has made the transference, electronic transference, to from the control room to the studio. The great Colleen O'Connell is standing by, ready to take your calls. And right now, there are two people on the phone. One's name is Ralph, and the other's name is Ted. So we'll go to Ralph first. Okay, Ralph, you're on. Ralph from Red Hook. Go ahead.
Hello, Doctor. I was listening this morning as the panel was discussing many things, and I really enjoy that show in the morning.
Yeah, great.
And I was just struck by the coincidence. Kim Jong-un impoverishes his people and has the hugest military for one of the smallest countries in the world, and takes great glee in having these parades and doesn't look like many of the soldiers are starving, but then again, you can't have soldiers marching in these gala parades and having them passing out from starvation. Mm-hmm. But I just thought it was interesting that Mr. Trump fancies himself having such large parades, and he intends to pay for it by gutting social programs in this country. So I would just hate to think that he would be successful in reducing the American population to the level of the North Korean population, and in order to pay for it. So I'm just going to hang up now because I'm traveling.
Oh, yeah.
And,
don't do that.
I'd like to listen to your comments. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for that. I don't have much to say except, you know, I think parades are and militarism are a good hint. I said that this morning about being on the way to a sort of a, you know, a totalitarian state. Look, this guy's best friends. Turns out people like Duterte and others are his pals. What does that tell you? Well, anyway, there's only one guy on the phone right now. So if you want to be on the radio, this is a great time to be on. 1-800-348-2551. Don't leave me here. Just don't leave me here. Okay, 1-800-348-2551. Ted in Vermont in Shelburne, Vermont, with a Valentine story. Go ahead, Ted.
Yes. Thank you for this opportunity. The comment about Valentine brought back something and some of your connections to the Seegers, actually. Penny Seeger, yep, the youngest sibling of Pete, was a friend in college. And I remember, although it was a casual friendship, but I remember I had a co-op job. This was at Antioch College, and I had some gold, and I made a very small, I think it would fit on a dime, a little heart with white gold and yellow gold, which I think was my Valentine to Penny, who died of pancreatic cancer just over 15 years ago.
Now, was she married to John Cohn?
Yes.
Yes, that's what I thought.
Yes, I think that was already in the works, but he was not there, and I was in college, and
gotcha.
By
okay.
Strange circumstances, traveled in same circles, and I had a horse that she looked a lot better on than I did. The other, if I may, so anyhow, that was just a reminiscence, which I don't want to dwell on, but and I appreciate, and then the year after that, because I was at Fort Dix doing basic training and had the opportunity to spend some time at the cabin and wash dishes, the Pete Seeger cabin, wash dishes in the copper sink. I don't know if you ever had that kind of relationship there.
I did, and I was there a couple of times. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, go ahead.
Right. They were a very dear family. The other is that every atrocity when we hear about it, and I hear us, everybody, sorry to change the subject in this direction, but every time we're so heartbroken when something has gone wrong with guns and drugs and general abuse. And I have mentioned this once before, and I appreciate the chance to mention it again, but there is a school program which is widespread in Canada that works with elementary school children, and it actually introduces themselves in a kind of a not academic but just in an environmental way of a sort of a caring society. The name of it is Roots of Empathy. And it is a .org, and it also is a book by Mary Gordon. But it is, and I would love to hear other people's ideas about how we can go to the source of what could crudely be called the craziness that we are seeing.
It's a good idea. So hey, Ted, there are now 10 people behind you.
I appreciate that. I'm glad, and thank you very much.
No, and thank you for having the guts to call.
Let me mention
Roots really
of Empathy
you.
Again, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Of course. Thanks again. Bye-bye. Okay, and now we're going to go to Adrian in New Paltz. Okay, Adrian in New Paltz, you're on.
Hey, we hate to leave you all by yourself.
Exactly.
That's a terrible
you
thing.
Are a Hello, good person. Everybody. Thank you, Adrian.
Hey, you remember the Valentine's Day massacre? I thought that would be just something out of the ordinary to bring up.
You mean back in the Capone days?
Why was it on Valentine's Day? And you probably are a history buff, I assume. So tell us about the Valentine's Day.
I have no idea. I just remember it was a very bloody and awful affair. And they dressed up as cops and they came in and they killed them all. You got any other insights?
Sounds kind of like the Trump administration, right?
Okay. Well, Adrian, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Okay. And now we're going to go to Ronnie in Pittsfield. Okay, Ronnie in Pittsfield, you're on.
Hey, Alan, this is Ronnie. Yep. I love your show. I had a question about an embarrassing moment where I was doing a roof, and I slid down the base of the roof, and I fell about 20 feet to the ground. And I was embarrassed about my other roofers. But my question is of morality. I got hurt doing that.
Yep.
And I didn't know if I had any kind of morality to sue the person who gave me the job or not, because I was paid for the day and I know the guy isn't very wealthy and stuff. So I just, I don't know where to go from here, because now I'm hurt where I can't work and I don't know what to do.
Now, is this present time you're talking about, what happened recently?
Yes, about 2 months ago.
Oh, I see. Well, I have no advice.
And I've been trying to heal up. I dislocated my shoulder.
Broke
my scaphoid bone in my hand.
And I'm not able to work,
and I don't know what to do.
Do you have health insurance? Do you have health insurance?
Yes, just regular Mass Health.
Well, good. At least you have that. Hey, Ronnie, I'm not in a position to help you with this one. I'm not a lawyer. I'm a political science professor, busted down political science professor. So I don't know what to tell you about this. You know, the morality question is an interesting one. Does the guy have any obligation to you? You've asked him that question. And what does he say?
Yeah, I know the guy doesn't have much and I don't want to go about it. I mean, he paid me for the day for work and I said I wouldn't say anything about falling off the roof. Oh. But now that I can't work, I don't know what to do.
Yeah. I wish I did. You know, there's some legal aid societies around, things like that. That would be a good thing to do. Go ask them what they think. Because it would be inappropriate for me to answer because I don't know what I'm talking about. Thank you, Ronnie. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Alan.
Bye. Okay, 1-800-348-2551. Okay, and we're going to go to Rachel in Albany. All right, Rachel, your turn.
Hi. Wonderful to talk to you.
And wonderful to have you call and save me. Appreciate it.
So I don't have a question. I don't need your advice about anything, so
okay.
I hope that's a relief to you. But I was hoping that there were some people who are listening right now who are in the Albany area who like local theater, as I'm sure you hopefully, actually, I hope you do as well.
If it's good, I like it. If it's lousy, I don't. Yeah.
Well, Can I tell everyone about a great show that's on right now that's
sure.
actually good and got, you know, good reviews and everything?
Sure.
Fantastic. Well, if anyone is a fan of Ibsen by any chance, there's a wonderful production of wonderful production of Hedda Gabler on at Albany Civic Theater, and this coming weekend is the last weekend of the show. And it's on Friday and Saturday at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday at a 3 o'clock matinee, so that you can get home in time to have supper with the kids.
Now, he was a bit of a downer, wasn't he, Ibsen?
Yeah. Well, it says that Scandinavian winter. I think it kind of gets them all down a little bit.
Yeah, you know, that's right. Now, didn't Ibsen write about the enemy of the people, which was picked up by none other than Donald Trump? He called the press the enemy of the people.
Oy vey. Well,
exactly. But he wouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
So that's right. Well, thank you for telling us about that. Appreciate it very much. I only like to go to things that end well. You know.
Well,
I don't like.
I mean,
to go
it ends
to,
well in that you'll gasp and enjoy it. Hopefully.
Well, or it ends well in that you can go home after it. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, Rachel.
Yes.
Appreciate it very much. Bye. Okay, 1-800-348-2551. And now on to Paul in Greenfield Center. Hi, Paul. Thanks for calling.
Hello, Alan.
Yeah.
Hello, Alan. How are you?
You know, I've been better. I was supposed to have a guest here today, but the guest didn't show up. And then I asked everybody.
I got a little dilemma.
What?
My dilemma is that I've been married for 32 years. My anniversary is coming up on September on my birthday.
Yep.
And Valentine's Day is tomorrow.
Yes.
And I've always gotten my wife a really nice Valentine's gift, but I'm kind of stumped now for all the Valentines that I've given her and just looking for a little advice from someone who has all that great knowledge in their head.
Well, it's all true. That is absolutely true and a very appropriate telephone call. So here's what I would do. You know, are we talking, do we have a price range?
The price range could be anything. I'm pretty well-to-do guy. So,
wow.
You know,
don't
matter to me.
We'll get her a diamond necklace.
A diamond necklace. That sounds like a good idea.
Don't you think it's Alan?
By the way, Alan, I want to say happy Valentine's to you because tomorrow is happy Valentine's Day for everybody, and I just want to wish everybody else out there a happy Valentine's Day.
And that's
Day.
Really good of you. I have to say that I admire you. Yeah, get her diamonds. They really are terrific. Thank you. Okay, 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. And now to one of my neighbors, Ellen, in Great Barrington. Hiya, Ellen.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
How you doing?
Not so well. You know, everybody says to me, how you doing? I start to tell them about my problems.
Well, your guest didn't show up. I'm sorry.
Yeah, then
so
everybody
sorry.
Complains. I start to say, and then they shut me right up. Okay, go ahead, Ellen. Go ahead.
Okay, Alan. A few weeks ago, you were on the air on the round table one morning talking with the usual suspects about the Berkshire Museum situation.
Yes.
And you said something that I took issue with, and I meant to call in then or do something, but I didn't. So here I am. You said, why can't the Berkshire Museum do what Jacob's Pillow does and what Tanglewood does and what the Rockwell Museum does, go out and raise money?
Right.
And I was immediately rather shocked because the Berkshire Museum is not a destination for people who go to Tanglewood, people who go to Rockwell, people who go to Jacob's Pillow. It's a small regional museum of more local interests. And I felt that it was somewhat short-sighted to suggest that they go out and raise the kind of money that they would have the leverage to raise the kind of money that these other heavy hitters do in the Berkshires. The other point that I wanted to make is that there are 1,000 nonprofit organizations in the Berkshires, most of which are local, serving the local population and raising money locally. Mm. And it's an incredibly small pie for an incredibly huge amount of nonprofits. And I'm very much on the fence about the whole Berkshire Museum controversy, but I do think that what they did with looking at their strategic plan and looking at their future and saying, we can't sustain this anymore. Yeah. His rattled up and shook up, shaken up the nonprofit world, but it's also an organization saying, we can't do this anymore, other than instead of an organization that's saying, we've always done it this way.
Okay, Ellen, thank you for that. Now you've made your point.
I'm here.
So now let me disagree with you.
And
I would hope you will read my column in the Berkshire Eagle this weekend, if they choose to print it. It's always there, but you never know. I take great issue with what you've just said. I think, the one thing that you want to do is attract people to your museum. And you don't sell your children. You don't sell your greatest assets. And your greatest assets are these Rockwell paintings. Now, if they put those paintings there, people would be lining up around the block to see them. Not only that, Ellen, they've been criticized by virtually every major arts organization around the United States. So.
They've taken a huge hit because of it.
And in my opinion, they
do believe, Ellen. I do believe that it's about much more than the art. I do believe that it's about a very changing and dramatically different community
You made that. Ellen, you made that point already, and it's a very good point. I get it. But I do think that what happens is if your board can't do it and if your professionals can't do it, get somebody who can. There are museums all over the United States, regional museums, which do very well. So I'm not buying it. Their executive director, who's down south, they sent Larry Parnas, who I hope gets a Pulitzer Prize from the Berkshire Eagle for his expose of what these guys were up to, went down there and found out he was trying to do the exact same thing down there that he's doing up here, virtually the same money. But I do appreciate your calling because there's always another side. Thanks, Ellen. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. And now on to Derek in Schenectady. All right, Derek, you're on.
Hey, Dr. Shartok, I'm coming to you actually today for some career advice.
Okay.
I graduated from College of St. Rose with a bachelor's in political science and history, but I took a few years off. I didn't really know if I wanted to jump into, political science yet, and ended up working a few years in retail management, but recently I've been thinking, I kind of want to get back into this. And I really don't know where to start. I got a pretty good resume, did some good internships with legislative assistant type things. And I'm just, wanted to hear your take about, how exactly I go about, looking for a great job, being right here in Albany and Schenectady. So,
well, Derek, I happen to think you've done some very good things, but you have to build on what you've got. So you had this internship job. Now what you want to do, if you want to, is to, find another job like you were interning for, but this time for money. Makes sense, right? Go around, go back to that office, say, talk to people, see who they can connect you with, and what they might know. Another thing that you could do that I think would be nice is to run for political office. I mean, somebody's got to do it. Look, there are about six or seven people running against in the Democratic primary for the right to run against John Faso. No reason you can't do that. There are people who are younger than you are who are there doing that. But you got to have some guts. You got to pull yourself together, pull your socks up, and go out and say, I could do that. You can't wait for others to come to you. You've got to sort of identify what you want. So one way is going back and working in the legislature. Another way is to run for political office. Another way is to, start to write maybe a blog that will get some attention. A lot of people doing that now. Those are all good ideas. Derek, thanks for the call. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. So that's the second two-thirds of the program. I think Ray and some of the others, Brian and some of the others, were probably taking bets that I couldn't get through this program. But that's the second half. The second two-thirds, and now we're coming back, and we got a lot of people on the phone, Joseph and Gina and Joe and John and Tim and Mike and Nicole and Giovanni. They're all there, and they all make up the Benny Goodman Quartet.
Support for WMC comes from Interim Healthcare. For 46 years, providing home care for individuals, companions, aides, and nurses, serving the Greater Capital Region, Columbia and Saratoga Counties, and Glens Falls. InterimHealthcare.com. New Scotland Physical Therapy, Slingerlands, New York, providing orthopedic, neurologic, and pediatric therapy services, now offering massage therapy, yoga classes, and fitness memberships. NewScotlandPhysicalTherapy.com. Coldham and Hartman Architects, serving residential and institutional clients with architecture designed for resilience and renewability, designed for the next 100 years. CNHArchitects.com. Adoptive and Foster Family Coalition of New York, offering support, information, and advocacy since 1975, serving New York's adoptive, foster, and kinship families. AFFCNY.org for information. And Careers in Transition, LLC, Albany. Dr. Tom Denham, providing individual career guidance, career testing, job strategies, interview preparation, LinkedIn lessons, resume and cover letter writing. CareersInTransitionLLC.com.
Anyway, we are back. Thank you, Zachary. There are 10 phones, and 10 phones are busy. Why? I couldn't begin to tell you, but they are busy. And so we have to go fast and give everybody a chance. We'll go to Joseph in Springfield. Joseph, you're on.
How you doing?
Oh, not so good.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Not so good. Thank you.
Alan, I got a quick one for you. How come they don't move our military bases by the border?
Well, you know what happens is the answer is it's all historical. What happens is when things got started, there were forts, there were this, there that, and then people get, you know, they get possessive about them. And every time the Congress, and they have, wants to shut them down or move them, there are a lot of people who get very, very angry. Take Fort Drum or anything like that, say, we're getting rid of it. You know, a lot of people make money there. A lot of people make money around it. That's the answer to your question, Joseph.
All right. I did figure it would solve a lot of our border problems.
Yeah, well, it might, but I don't know that we have as many problems as people think we have. Thanks, Joseph. Okay, and now on to Gina in Saratoga. Okay, Gina, you're on. Go.
Hi, Alan. How's it going? I wanted to
not
say
so good. Thank
kudos
you
for the diamond.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. Kudos for the diamond necklace suggestion.
Sure.
As a wife, I think that's a great idea.
Well, you know what happened, Gina? Gina, I'll tell you. We walked into a wonderful jewelry store in Lenox. I was sitting there, and as you know, the husband sometimes does. Roselle was looking at everything, and she came to this thing. It was quite expensive. And she looked at it. I said, well, that's wonderful. Why don't you get that? And she said, how much is it? And I said, how much is it? And it was, you know, a lot of thousands. And I said,
yeah.
Well, you know, we have that much in the bank. Why don't, yeah, let's get that. And she wears it all the time. And when she wears it, I always feel good about it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes, I do, and I know she felt good about it too. I would.
I do. I think okay. She felt good about it. What do you got?
Okay, my question is this.
Yeah.
As a kid, I grew up in Richmond, and I was sitting watching a parade on the 4th of July with my mom.
Yeah.
And the Ku Klux Klan were in a wagon, and they broke in from a side street, and they kind of sort of destroyed this in the '60s. They sort of destroyed this parade.
Yeah.
Do you think there's any possibility that any kind of white supremacy group might show up in the president's parade? 2 years ago, I would have said no, but now I'm thinking anything can happen.
Well, first of all, you're right. Anything can happen. I remember all the civil rights marches, you know, and the kinds of things that I used to participate down in you know, in Washington, there were always creep groups from the left and the right. The left too, way crazy left, who would get in. And, you know, it was always up to the sort of marshals of the parade to be careful and to watch for that, to make sure that their parade didn't get destroyed. But of course, it's a very good chance. Anytime they can get their faces anywhere or get seen, they're going to do it. Gina, thank you for your wonderful advice. Thank you. Okay. And now on to, let's see here. Oh, Tim in Oneonta. Tim in Oneonta, you're on. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hey.
I'm home alone, too, so don't feel bad.
Okay.
My thought is if Mr. Trump happened to be ousted from office.
Yeah.
What are your ups and downs about Pence taking over? Because because I wrestle with this when I'm trying to sleep.
Yeah. Well, you know, I disagree with an awful lot of people. I say, first, get rid of Trump, because this is the craziest guy we've ever had there, lowest popularity ever. He's awful. And I think Pence would take a little bit of a lesson from that. Now, Pence is a very conservative guy. He's terrible on gay rights. He's terrible on, you know, women's rights to their body, controlling their own bodies. But you cross that bridge when you come to it. But right now, it's important to make the statement, and I think it's going to happen, that we should get rid of Trump. And when I say get rid of it, I don't mean do anything illegal. I just mean impeach him. And I think if the Democrats take the House, I do think there will be an impeachment. But so, you know, we'll let the next thing take care of itself. Thank you very much, Tim. Okay, 1-800-348-2551. And on to Mike in Troy, who's been sitting there waiting to be on. Mike in Troy, you're on.
Thanks, Alan. Question for you, or actually a suggestion. I think Trump could do a terrific Valentine for all the women in America by resigning on Valentine's Day. He would show his respect for women. He would show that he's contrite about what he's done. The suggestion actually isn't mine. It's Kirsten Gillibrand's. Yeah. She came forward with the idea that he should resign, given all the complaints against him, much as Rob Porter and others have. And she went on to say that if that isn't the case, then we should have hearings and to determine what women have said about it, his actions.
Okay.
Have you heard anything more about what?
No, but I agree with that, Mike. It's a very interesting prospect. Thank you. Okay. Now we're going to Nicole in Nassau. Nicole in Nassau, your turn. Go.
Yes. Hi, Alan. Last night on your station, I listened to Richard Wolff on cutting corporate taxes.
You mean our station. You don't mean your station. Yeah, well,
oh,
go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Our station.
You're right.
I am a member.
Yes,
and
indeed,
anyway, I was mesmerized and scared. And this whole idea that, you know, they're continuing to chalk up the debt. And at Richard Wolff was saying that a year or so down the line, they're going to say, well, you know, we can't continue to increase the debt, so now we have to cut all the services.
Well,
and
yeah,
this
well,
seems
that,
like such a logical thing for the Republicans to do that I think we should all get out in the streets. What do you think?
Well, I'm a big believer in getting out in the streets when things go really wrong. But I do think that there was an agreement here among the Democrats and the Republicans that would have a budget. The budget is out of control. We know that. Too much, way too much on the military. And a point I made this morning I think is somewhat important is that here is Trump and his group saying we have to have more military because of the Russians. Ha! This is the same Russians he's being accused of consorting with. Hey, Nicole, thank you for your very good call. Okay, and now on to Giovanni in Greenwich. Okay, Giovanni, you're on.
Hey, Alan.
Hey.
I'd like to ask, what do you think is missing in our educational system that prevents people from really getting to know the government and how it works? I used to work for the airlines back at Kennedy Airport.
Yep.
In the international wing, and I was associated with a lot of, at that time, younger people from Europe, from Scandinavia, France, and so on.
And they know their stuff, right? They know their stuff.
They know their stuff. They know our stuff better than we know. But it was embarrassing. They knew more about my government than I did.
Well, you know, Giovanni, I've spent my whole life trying to deal with that. I founded the Legislative Gazette, the first major modern internship at the state legislature. All of that is so important. And you are right. It is scary. And we've got to figure out a way to do more, to be able to say, this is important to you. And I think the Trump administration may be one of the reasons that we find more young people interested in public radio, more interested in reading a newspaper every day. All of that's true, but we've got to keep working on it. Thanks, Giovanni. Okay, now let's go to, here. We've got a John in Pittsfield. Okay, John in Pittsfield, you're on.
And, hey, Alan, how you doing?
Well, don't ask. Go ahead.
Just wondering, regarding the immigration, wouldn't the immigration situation not be where it was if we initially enforced the immigration laws on the books of not hiring illegal undocumented labor in the first place?
Well, let's assume for a second you're right. Let's assume you're right for a second, John. And
well, I don't know. Am I right? I think there are laws on the books.
Well, yeah, there are certainly laws.
A nation of laws.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. But let's face it. Who is doing the hiring? In other words, people want the apples off the trees, who want to be able to hire enough people to run their businesses. And some of these people are the very same people who are basically, for want of a better term, in bed with Trump.
I mean, small business owners who hire somebody in a restaurant off the books. I mean, you know what? That's the other thing, Alan. Labels are really hard to define sometimes.
Yep.
You mentioned about Eisenhower time after time. One of the biggest conservatives, a general, but you go on and on, two-term president, and he said what he said when he exited office, that last speech.
That's right.
That was the most unright, so far from the Republican, you know, what's going on now. Look at Richard Nixon, one of the most, by far, the most conservative president we ever had. His dad was a Quaker minister. He ended up forming the EPA, essentially, and signed the Clean Water and the Clean Air Act.
John, he did, and we thank you for your call. 1-800-348-2551. Now to Joe in Galway, where everybody plays the flute. Go ahead, Joe.
That's right. Listen, I just wanted to thank you for your station. You have no idea how important it is. You do know how important it is, but I just wanted to say that one thing it does is it gives comfort to know that in all this craziness, we still have a voice of reason, and I value it very much.
That is so sweet of you, Joe.
Trump will come and go. Bush came and went. Obama came and went. But public radio will always be here, and we need that. We need that voice.
Thank you, Joe.
I just wanted to go along with that guy who said that the Democrats should start using some of this ammunition and stop pushing around and start going after them, because if they don't, they're not going to take over either House or the Senate.
Thank you for your good words, Joe. So appreciated. I think you're right. Okay. And now on to, let's see here. Oh, yeah. Peggy in Queeman's Hollow. Okay, Peggy, you're on. Go ahead.
Hi. What bothered me is Monday morning on the panel.
Yes.
You were discussing Trump and his cohort's abuse of women. And yet no one, and I despise Trump, but no one brought up the fact that Bill Clinton was accused of raping two women. And it just seemed so out of balance.
Yeah. See, now I don't remember the rape charges. I do, of course, remember Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah, I believe I heard it on NPR.
Yeah. Well, you can't believe everything here on NPR.
That's right. False news.
Hey, Peggy, thanks for the call. Okay, 1-800-348-2551. And now to Jim in North Pownell. Okay, Jim in North Pownell, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
I've been a long, long, long time listener.
Ooh.
And I wanted to put in my 2 cents worth about the Berkshire Museum selling the Rockwells.
Okay.
I think that the Rockwell Museum should have first dibs on them. I spent an absolutely fantastic weekend down in the Berkshires with my girlfriend, and we stayed at a great motel, and we went to a concert at Tanglewood, and we wandered around the streets of Stockbridge and had lunch at the Red Lion and just really enjoyed things. But the highlight of the weekend was taking a tour of the Rockwell Museum.
It's fabulous. It's fabulous, isn't it?
And I think the Berkshire Museum should give the Rockwell Museum first dibs on whatever it is that they're trying to unload.
Well, if they had $100 million to spare, I'm sure they would have. The deal, of course, is that the Shufflington's barbershop will be displayed for a couple of years at the Berkshire Museum. And it is to her great credit that Laurie Norton Moffat, who is the president of the Berkshire of the Rockwell, was one of the first out of the box to declare that what was going on with the Berkshire Museum was just wrong. And I thought she had a lot of guts to do that. And I know that she made a certain number of enemies. And I'm not sure they didn't try to this so-called deal, which is not much of a deal, with Attorney General Maura Healey put together. I'm very disappointed in Healey, by the way. Is not a way to assuage Laurie Norton Moffat to keep quiet was to say that they could display the barbershop for a couple of years. But anyway, yeah. Jim, thanks for the wonderful talk about the Rockwell. It is a great museum. Thank you. Okay. And now we're trying to get everybody in, so don't be mad at me, gang. We're going to go to Mike in Richmond. All right, Mike in Richmond, you're on. Go.
Hey, Alan, I'm not going to ask how you are. I won't waste your time.
Yeah.
I'm talking with a gentleman who was concerned about Pence versus Trump,
right.
Who is worse, and your assessment that Trump will be impeached. There's no question in my mind that Pence, who is to the right of Attila the Hun, would be far, far worse than Trump. He could actually get stuff done. And there's no way Trump's going to get impeached. Even if the Dems take the House, you need two-thirds majority. So I hope you're right. I hope you're right, but I don't think you are.
Well, maybe I'm not. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. All right. And let's go to, okay, we'll go now to Arturo in Hopewell Junction. Arturo, great name. Go ahead. You're on.
Yes, thank you very much, Alan. I don't think anybody has spoken about a moral question yet. It's all political and judicial. But, Alan, I'm not going to ask you how you are. Because, quite frankly, I don't care how you are.
That's fine. Go ahead. That's it? Whoa. Isn't that something? Nasty. Let's go to Justin in Pittsfield. Justin, are you going to be a better call than Arturo? He was terrible.
Hey, Alan, how's it going?
Yeah, good. Good, go ahead.
So I just have a question for you. I'm a younger person. I'm 27.
Whoa.
Getting into politics, starting to understand really how our system works. And I was just thinking, I feel like it's kind of, we need more younger people in politics. And I just want to get your sense on how you feel about, these older white guys, for the most part, in the Trump administration. You know, their approach to the environment is certainly not.
Okay, we're running out of time. So, Justin, let me say this to you. They're old and they're white, but that's not what's wrong with them. What's wrong with them is what's wrong with them is that they're wrong. They're just wrong.
Right.
Hey, Justin, I got to go. Thank you very much. And we are really left with so George from Vermont was on the phone, and he said, protect the Constitution. That's the oath that Trump took. We can see where that one's going. And Michael from Covington is apparently very concerned about gerrymandering, as am I. And that's the end of the program. You guys got me through it. You're terrific. You are wonderful. And anyway, so Michael, thank you. And George, we're sorry that we can't take your calls. We're out of time. Support for the Vox Pop comes from Vision Excel Eye Care, Lake Katrine Exams Eye Care, Dry Eye Therapy, and now New American Made Frames, where eyewear is an art, visionexceleyecare.com, and Windhorse Neuropathic Clinic, Brattleboro, Vermont, offering neuropathic medicine, oxidative medicine, colon hydrotherapy, and acupuncture, specializing in Lyme disease, now accepting new primary care patients. Windhorse, naturopathic.com. And HMT at the Spa Little Theater, presenting the comedy Inspecting Carol by Daniel Sullivan, weekends through February 25th at Saratoga Spa State Park, homemadetheater.org, and Veterinary Hospital of Laurel and Brown, Turner's Falls, Massachusetts, providing comprehensive care for dogs and cats for over 25 years. New clients welcome. drlaurelandbrown.com. Thanks again for joining us on the Bach Bob. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Thanks to Colleen O'Connell for answering the phones. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. Jim Lavoulis Babulis. I'm Alan Chartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.